Well, this morning we're starting a new series that we're calling Shine. I was going to call it Marked, and I'll explain to that later. But I like Shine because it kind of shows us, you know, the summer's coming, right? If you've been in Michigan for a long time, you long for summer, don't you? Because Michigan has been blessed with cloud cover and dreary days. And then all of a sudden that sun comes, and it's warm, it's bright, and you can feel the power in it. And I know the other day I was sitting on the deck and I had my Gaines Church T-shirt on, you know, the dark blue, and the sun was shining on me, and I was like, man, I'm hot, I'm smoldering, and I had jeans on, so I went to the front porch and like, man, I'm cold, and it's like without the sun, it's like there's no warmth, is there? And it brings a special joy to us as well when we see the sun. So this as we kind of start to move towards summer here. What I want to do with the services for the next 3 weeks is not kind of go into autopilot, because what happens in Michigan, because of we long for sunshine, is that people kind of slowly drift away from the church. They vacation, and I don't want to take that away from you. But all of a sudden, they just kind of put their faith on autopilot, and they don't even go to church. They don't even really pursue God at all. And what I would tell you, when you put yourself on autopilot, that is dangerous. Because you don't just stay where you're at, you actually slip backwards. And what I would want to challenge all of us this summer is to make it a summer where we're declaring something. And we're being very intentional about what we're declaring. I want us to choose one of two things. Either you're all in with God, and you're declaring your intent that while you're here in this world, while you are living and breathing, that you are going to live your life fully for Him, and that you are going to live a life that is shining towards the glory of God. And you're living your life in such a way that people see that light in the darkness. And that you're going to say, I'm not just going to dabble with Christ, but I'm all in, I'm sold out, and I'm going to pursue Him. And those are my intentions, because God has declared His intentions towards you already. God has declared that He loves you, He wants you, He desires you to be with Him, and He's given you His Son as a declaration of saying, this is my intention towards you. Now, this summer, I'm asking you to say, I'm going to declare my intentions towards God. Now, you might fall in another camp. You might be in this camp where you're going, I don't really like that. I mean, can't I just have Jesus and the world too? Can't I just, dabble with this church thing and dabble with a little bit of Jesus, but then go out party on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Or can I just have that course talk while I'm at work? I mean, all the guys do it after all. Or can I just participate in all these other worldly things that pulled me completely away from God? But yeah, I want Jesus. And can I have that? No, you can't. The way Jesus says it in Revelation is He says, you're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm, and I'm about to spew you out of my mouth. I mean, that's some strong words, and I started thinking about the hot or cold, and I mean, he's calling us to a life where we're on fire for Him, because if we realized that there's something beautiful in Christ, we realize that He is the one who has given us life. He is the one who's taken us out of this dark world and given us hope, and we get excited about it, and we start to live for that instead of just kind of maintaining kind of this lukewarm thing. Lukewarm is not very good. I mean, have you ever reached for your cup of coffee and you thought it was hot and it's just lukewarm? What do? Right? Okay, maybe I do that. Because I either want hot coffee or cold coffee, right? I mean, same way with French fries. French fries, man, when you get them and they're nice and hot, they're like delicious, aren't they? I mean, they're like, you know, they go down like grease. I mean, butter. I mean, they just slide right down, right? But once they get to that stage where they're just lukewarm, they're just kind of limp. They're just kind of like a big wad of grease potato. And I just want to spew it out. Well, this is what Jesus has called to us this summer, is to be on fire for Him. Is to declare our intentions that I am here fully engaged with God. And I'm going to let Him do whatever He wants to do in my life. And I am going to be a light in this world for Him. Now, I told you I kind of went back and forth with wondering, do I call it marked or do I call it shined? Well, I think what God's kind of inviting us, and it's a stunning invitation, is to partner with Him and to join with Him in declaring that He is holy, that His Son is the Savior of the world. He invites us and wants us to participate in that. That's stunning to think about. He doesn't need us, but He desires that from us. So I'm like going marked, and we've really all been marked by something, haven't we? We've been marked by maybe struggles. We've been marked by maybe some of your career choices. You've been marked by how people have treated you. We find ourselves marking ourselves by the way that we dress, maybe our hairstyles. We mark ourselves by the crowd that we hang around. And now in our culture, we're marking ourselves with tattoos. You know, it's kind of like this hip and thing that's going on, and I know you're like, Kelly, you just said tattoos in church. You know, you're kind of scaring me. First of all, this is not about whether you should have a tattoo or not have a tattoo. Okay, I want it really clear. I'm not making a statement whether you should or shouldn't. I believe the Bible leans one way. That's my conviction. You need to spend time with God if you're considering a tattoo. But when you start to have these conversations about tattoos, because I've had several of them over the last probably 10, 15 years, people are all of a sudden like, it's like the hip thing to do, right? I mean, when I grew up, it wasn't, you know, people. Some people got tattooed, but not everybody was doing it. It wasn't, I guess it's not tattooing now. It's called body art, right? So it's a little bit different, and so you know, I never considered it, never thought about it, but I started to go through this process where I was trying to figure out, what is tattooing about? What's going on with tattooing? Why is everybody else obsessed with getting body art? And is it something that a Christian should do or shouldn't do? Because I'm getting asked these questions. And so I started reading about tattooing, and it's fascinating a little bit. Because do you know there's hurdles that you got to overcome before you get a tattoo? The first hurdle is, what am I going to get? I mean, do I want a bird? Do I want a fish? Do I want to put somebody's name, on me? Or do I want it to be really elaborate so that it draws people's attention to me because of it's you know, it's a big piece of art? It's like this whole process that people actually go through. And as I was reading about it, I'm like going, you know, that's kind of interesting how much thought people really put into this. And then they said that the next hurdle is that you got to decide where you want it. I'm like, well, do you put it, you know, like here so everybody can see it? Do you put it here or maybe just put it here so, you know, if I want you to see it, I kind of raise my sleeves up a little bit. If I don't want you to see it, then I pull it down. Or maybe I put it kind of in an inconspicuous place like here so, you know, when you're around the ladies, you kind of flex the muscles and then they show off a little bit. You know, I mean, there's a lot of thought that, you know, where do you put it? And then there's another hurdle, which, you know, you probably didn't know there's all these hurdles, is can you withstand the pain? It's like as soon as I read that, I'm like going, well, I'm out. Check me out. And one of the guys in the article that I was reading, it was kind of humorous. He said, if you're considering a tattoo and you're wondering if you can handle the pain, then get out of the conversation. You shouldn't get one. That's how blunt this guy was. And it was kind of is interesting because it said that what happens when they're getting a tattoo, this little thing that they're shooting into your skin is moving at 3,000 injections per minute. So you're getting poked with a needle 3,000 times per minute. Just an eighth of an inch underneath your skin, and then they're injecting ink. And I'm like, whoa, that alone kind of scared me. And I was like going, well, that's interesting. But I started to think this. Could you imagine if you and I took our faith and determined if we were really going to be focused on God our entire life that seriously? That we took that kind of time and said, this is who I want to be. This is what I want the world to see me as. This is what I want God to see me as. I want God to see me as His light in this world. I mean, could you imagine if we actually took that much time and did it? I mean, and I've had people say, Kelly, you know, in this process when I'm talking to people, hey, would you ever get a tattoo? I'm like, well, I'm 49 years old. Nobody wants to see a 49-year-old guy with saggy skin and ripples happening. You know, I'm not ripped. It's ripples, okay? You know, nobody wants to see that. And I remember having a conversation with this young lady. She got a cross on the side of her, and she goes, you want to see it? And I'm like, she got it right here. And I'm like, I really don't want to see it. But I'm like, okay, all right, we're looking at the cross. And I said, well, you better be careful. That's going to become an X once you get pregnant. You know, and now she got pregnant. She got pregnant, and she said it was an X. So I was right. But she still loves me. We're just joking, okay? You know, so you got to be careful. You have to give it a lot of thought. But Did you know that you're actually marked if you're a believer in Christ already? You have a mark. You have a seal already branded on you if you believe in Jesus Christ. And that mark is enough. The only thing that I want to say about the tattooing is if you're considering it, make sure that you have a conversation with God. Because I think the Bible leans one way, it's just my opinion. And make sure you really want it. And make sure you're not doing it to say you're marking yourself for God. Because here's the problem. A lot of people are making it hyper-spiritual. It's not a hyper-spiritual thing. God does not ask you to be marked for Him. He is calling you to be marked by His Spirit. And His Spirit only. And in this world, we should be marked by the cross. And people should see us and they should be in awe. But in case they decided I wanted to have a tattoo, I kind of said, well, the word that I like is shine. Seriously. And in the Greek, it looks really cool too. And I thought, but then I read this verse and I'm thinking, this is why I would want to do it because of, but I don't want to do it. So make it clear, I'm not going to do it. We're not going to have a tattoo artist up here. So this verse that we're going to read here is just like this verse that all of a sudden it just become like this eye-opener for me of me declaring my intentions to God. And it's found in Philippians chapter 2. And it says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's not like I'm working to earn my salvation. I already have my salvation because I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I already have it. But I'm trying to become more and more like Christ. I'm trying to get rid of this blurred area where I'm more like the world and less like Christ. I'm trying to get rid of that. I want to be more like Him. And so that's what he's talking about working it out and with fear and trembling that I'm taking it serious. And then he says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you, and here's the word, shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. I mean, those words are a declaration for us. It's a declaration saying that I don't want the world to define who I am. I don't want my partying to define who I am. I don't want my friends to define who I am. I don't want all the pleasures of this world to define who I am. I want one thing to define me, and that is Christ and Christ alone. And I want to live in such a way that I am living a life that is pure and blameless. Can I do it on my own? Absolutely not. It's the Holy Spirit that has been placed in us that gives us that power to do that. But I want to make sure that I'm shining. And I love that word shine. I looked it up because when I considered it, when they asked me that question, what would I put on my own body, that word shine is kind of to be a beacon, to displace darkness. I love that thought. You and I are the children of God. Those of you that believe in Jesus Christ, you're a child of God, and you're supposed to shine so bright in this world, not lukewarm, not dim, but shine like the stars in the universe. Holding forth and bringing forth the word of God, which is Jesus. I mean, that's a complete commitment, isn't it? That's not my intentions aren't, well, a little bit of Jesus, a little bit of the world. It's all Jesus and Jesus alone. And He's asking us to be that people in the world, to be this people that are shining, to be a people that is actually bringing light into this dark and broken world that's definitely depraved and definitely is moving away from God. He says, I want you to be that light that is shining. And you know, there's that song by Rihanna, I want to shine like a diamond. You know, I can't get that out of my mind for some reason, but it's not that. It's like shine like a star in the universe. I mean, a diamond doesn't shine very bright, does it? But a star in the universe shines pretty bright. And when I read this, it's like, this is the call for summer. That we would choose to live for God, showing people in this world how great, how awesome, how mighty, how beautiful, how lovely, and how holy he is. And I said you were marked, and some of you are like, what, I'm marked? Where do you get that from? Well, this is out of Ephesians, and Paul's talking about this. And it says in verse 13 of chapter 1, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." I love that you and I have been marked. So when the world sees us, they should see something. They should see the cross of Christ. They should see the holiness of God in us. They should see that we're not living the blurred lines of the world, that we're clearly making a choice for God. We've been marked and we've been sealed in God. Our salvation is secure in him. And he's holding on to that for us until the day that he comes to redeem us or calls us home. And I love this. It says that we are God's possession. And so God looks at us and goes, they're sealed, they're sealed, they're sealed, they're marked, they're marked, they're sealed, they're marked, they're marked, they're mine. Or his possession. And he wants his possession to be a reflection of him in this world. And that takes a conscious effort, a conscious choice to be marked by the cross. What does marked by the cross mean? It means to be alive to God and dead to the world. No more blurry lines. No more saying Christian phrases and then doing the opposite things. Because we're really good at that. And when I die, I hope people will say that he loved God. He lived like a star shining in the universe for the glory of God. I don't want them to say, not sure where they stood. They said this, that they went to church, but they actually did this. Well, they said these words that they believed in Jesus, but this is how they treated people. I don't want people to be confused. I want people to know that I am sold out for my Savior because of the cross and what he did. Now, I want to jump into, if you have your Bibles, jump to Galatians with me real quick. Galatians is a beautiful book. Paul is writing to the church in Galatia. What's happening is Paul, if you don't know who Paul is this guy, amazing church planter, a guy that, first of all, he started out as kind of like the Jew of Jews. And what I mean by that, he was like one of the elite religious leaders, kind of like the Pharisees. He was very, very, very intelligent. He also lived out the Mosaic law to a T. Like, I mean, if anybody was going to live out the law to a T, it was going to be him, and his life was defined by the Mosaic law. In fact, when Christ died, he actually kind of took it upon his shoulder to go and persecute Christians, people who believed in Jesus, and try to execute them, and gave permission for them to be executed. But then all of a sudden, he had this incredible moment. A light on the road to Damascus shone so bright, and it was Jesus Christ, the Lord. And in that moment, Paul had a conversion. Paul had an awakening of the heart. And no more was Paul a Judaizer. Paul was a follower of Jesus Christ, a believer in that Jesus died, that he rose, and he's ascended and sits at the right hand of the Father, and that he is the only way for salvation. Paul put his faith in that. But Paul still believed, you know, that we're supposed to have this Mosaic law. We're still supposed to have this moral standard and ethics, and those things still apply. Yes, Jesus fulfilled them. It didn't wipe them away. They still apply to us. But there's certain things that Paul was like going, you know, why do people keep adding to the gospel in this letter? Is what we're going to find. Because Paul would go in, he'd plant this church, and he'd move on. And then these Judaizers would come and say and start teaching false teachings. And Paul all of a sudden got wind of this. And all I can say is I think Paul was ticked. Because Paul was so passionate and believed so much in the cross of Christ. He believed in the supremacy and the sufficiency of the cross of Christ. Meaning that the cross of Christ is all that people need to be saved. The cross is the only thing that brings a right standing with God. And that's because of Jesus Christ. And he believed that passionately. And he got wind that all of a sudden these people are like going, no, it's the cross and this. And this is where we kind of pick up in this letter. In verse 11, it says, see what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. And in that moment, just kind of imagine, because most people would say that he was using somebody to kind of be a translator or a transcriber and writing down his words because of he was losing his vision and he was having a hard time writing. But it's like at this moment, it's like he almost kind of visualized, at least in my mind, it's like he grabbed that pen and said, this is how serious I am about this. And he says, those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. And for those of you that are going, circumcision, what's that about? Now, understand this is part of the Mosaic law. The adults, if you got converted to Judaism, would be circumcised. And that was an outward sign to the world that you belong to God. So as he said, this is an outward sign saying that these are my people. Well, these people are all of a sudden coming in and saying, well, no, it's not just Christ alone, it's Christ and the Mosaic Law. And but Paul has this incredible insight. All of a sudden he's got going, no. The only reason that you're here is this. They do this to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. In other words, they want Christ. And they don't want to be persecuted. Because in their day, if they would have confessed that they believe in Jesus Christ, they would have been persecuted as a Jew. Jewish people that converted to being a follower of Christ, all of a sudden they would experience a lot of hardships, a lot of ridicule, and quite often people might even try to take their lives because they confessed that. And these guys are like going, well, we want to make sure that we're not being persecuted. We kind of believe in this Jesus, yes, because we like salvation through the cross. But yeah, we don't want to be persecuted, so let's add the law to it too. So we have the cross and the law. And all of a sudden you have Paul going, nope, that's not it. He says, these people, the only reason that they're doing this and saying these words is because they don't want to be persecuted. And he goes in verse 13, not even those who are circumcised, referring to these Judaizers, not even these guys obey the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus, through which the world has been crucified to me. I to the world. And I like his words, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. And like we could add that today to today's conversation. Whether you're tattooed or you're not tattooed, it doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't mean a thing whether you're circumcised or not circumcised. What he starts to say is he says what counts is that there's a new creation going on the inside. That you're becoming alive to God and dead to this world. Outward things don't matter to God. The inward stuff really matters. And if you've encountered the cross of Christ, there should be some type of transformation that's going on the inside of you. That all of a sudden you have less of a desire for the world and more of a desire to be more like God and to become his child. And so Paul in this moment is like going, he says, you guys, stop adding to the gospel. The gospel is Christ and Christ alone. The cross is sufficient for all sin. The cross is the only thing that is sufficient to get eternal life. That's it. And Paul is passionate about that. He says, stop adding to it. Stop trying to justify your actions. Stop trying to do this or that and add to the gospel. Just simple. And then he says, peace and mercy to all who follow this rule. What rule? That we become a new creation. That we become alive to God through the power of the Holy Spirit that has been placed in us. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. And then he kind of gets, I can see him puffing up here and getting really angry. Finally, let no one cause me trouble. And I think if you translate that in our day, it's like, don't let anybody get in my face or get off my back. I think that's what he's kind of saying here. And he says, don't let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. If you know Paul has been beaten with a cat of nine tails. Remember what those are? Remember Jesus was whipped 39 times with them? They were sentenced to 40, but they have to take one off because they might die. Paul has been beaten probably minimum of two times that way. Paul was also beaten with canes. He was stoned beyond probably recognition. He was left for dead, bit by a viper, thrown in jail. I mean, Paul is like going, you want to know about Jesus? You want to know about the sufficiency of the cross? You want to know how to get salvation? It's through Christ and Christ alone. Nothing on the outside matters. You want to argue? Take a look at my back. Take a look at the marks that have been placed here because of what I'm standing for. Because I'm in this world, I've been called into a relationship with God, and I have a right standing with God, and I want to shine like a star in the universe, and I want to bring forth the word of God, and that's what Paul is doing. And in the meantime, he's getting beaten, he's getting whipped, and he's bearing the marks of the truths of God. Does that mean that you and I need to go get beaten, whipped? Not necessarily. That's not what it's talking about. But in some cases, that happens for the cause of Christ. But for you and I, what it means, it simply means this. Are you really bearing the marks of the cross? Have you come alive on the inside? Are you coming alive to this new life and becoming this new creation? Or are you just kind of in the blurred middle, lukewarm? Because God's call to us is no blur, all in. And we should be marked by the cross. And I tell you what marked by the cross simply means this. Alive to God, dead to the world. There's a call that we're supposed to be a different type of people. We're supposed to be a people that are a holy people. We're not supposed to look like the world. We're not supposed to say Christ and all this stuff. It's supposed to be Christ and Christ alone. What are you personally holding on to right now that you're holding so dearly and clinging to this world that you're not living for Christ? What in your life are you saying, Christ and this? And what I would tell you, whatever this and this is, that's your idol. And you need to get severed from it and get focused on Christ and Christ alone so that new creation can come alive. Paul says many things in Galatians chapter 2. He kind of says this about being believers. And he says, we who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one is justified. And simply what he's saying is that Jesus has paid it all at the cross. And we sing a song, don't we? It's called Jesus Paid It All. Jesus paid it all. What's the rest of it? How's it go? All to him I owe, right? So now that Jesus paid it for us, we have salvation through him alone, through the cross of Christ alone. Now we belong to him and we owe him everything. And the call is to be different. The call is to be a different person in this world. In the way that Paul says it, he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So he says we've got to die to the world. We've got to die to all these things that we want, and we've got to start shining and let him live through us. All you're saying, well, you keep saying holy, become holy. We're holy people. Did you know that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit that you've been marked with, you are holy. There's a call throughout the whole Bible that God's people are supposed to be holy. In Leviticus chapter 19, it starts out, and it's a powerful way that God is calling his assembly of people together. And he says to Moses, this is what I want you to tell my people. Above all things, this is what I want you to be. And he says, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy. Be holy. That's not like the world. That's not living in this world for my desires, my passions, what I want, what I believe. It's living a life completely sold out and wrecked for God. And I'm shining like a star in the universe. I'm shining and I'm bringing him glory in everything that we do. So it says to be holy. And I like what it says next. He says, why are we holy? Because I, the Lord your God, am holy. We have to be different because our Savior is different. We have to stand out in this world and in this darkness. We have to be light. We have to be willing to be ridiculed and laughed and mocked at because of what we really believe. Because if we've been marked by the cross of Christ, it changes us. And if there's a new creation happening inside of here, then you desire what God wants, not what you want. And God says, I want you to be holy. And then if you read through Leviticus and those next chapters there, God is just pouring out, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. And all of a sudden you get the tattooing one and, you know, don't freak out at verse 29. It says don't get tattoos. Again, if you have a tattoo, again, that's between you and God. I'm not saying yes or no, don't get it. But what's really going on in those scriptures, can I just tell you real quick? What's going on in those scriptures is people used to mark themselves in memory of the dead. They would walk around, slice their skin, and they would bleed. And their thought was that this blood that I'm shedding will help my family member or my loved one in the future life. It will bring them life in the future life. And you know what God is saying? Don't do that. What he's also saying, don't mark yourself. Why is he saying don't mark yourself? Because of all the cultures around them, they mark themselves. They belong to this clan or that clan. They were this tribal area. Or they were part of a religion. And what he's saying here, and get rid of the body art thing. What he's saying here is this. You don't need anything but me. You're marked by me. You're my people. I don't want you to be like the world. I don't want you to be like the rest of those things in there. And you say, well, what about the cutting the hair thing, Kelly? Because, you know, that's right before that. Yeah, you happen to know that. Ben could have a beard all the way down to here, right? And he could tuck it in his belt. He told me about a guy like that. What he's saying is people in their culture, they were kind of cutting and shaping their beards and cutting their hair in a certain way that it looked like they were deities. And he's like, don't do that because I am the Lord God. The call is not about do's and don'ts. The call is to be holy. Because I am holy. That's our God. Oh, Kelly, that's the Old Testament. Come on, those are outdated. Okay, well then turn to Ephesians chapter 7. Do everything that you want to do because Jesus died and he paid it all. No arguments? But there's a couple of people that realize there's not a chapter 7. There's not a chapter 7. What it actually says, if you go into Ephesians chapter 4, this is what Paul says. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling. And I'm going to kind of summarize these next verses because you can look at them. He's basically saying, he says, it's time to grow up. It's time to start acting like the people of God. Stop living like the world. Stop lying, stop cheating, stop stealing, stop doing this, stop doing that. Start loving one another, start forgiving one another. Start becoming holy. And eventually he gets to verse 1, and it says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved you and gave himself up for you as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So in other words, be imitators of God. Be holy. The call hasn't changed. It doesn't say be like the world. It doesn't say take on the world and just allow culture of this world to change us and to influence us. No. The call is to be like God, to be a light to the world, to shine like a star in the universe, pointing towards the glory of the cross. That's the call. And if you read through the rest of that law, several times, I think at least four times I read these words. You are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy. I have set you apart from the nations to be my own. That's why God wants us set apart. Because we are His. And since we are His, in light of the cross of Christ, you and I should be excited. We should be excited to put the world to death and be alive to God. We should start going out and telling our friends and our people that we know and have influence on, do you know about Jesus Christ? Do you know that He brings light in the darkness? Do you know that He heals the brokenness? Do you know that He doesn't just fix problems, but He actually is the one who brings life? Do you know that He is the only way for salvation? I mean, I should be passionately living that out in my life. Or otherwise, I'm just a dull bulb that is not making a difference. And I know that first verse that I read, I can't help but thinking about it in my mind over and over. That we're called to be stars shining so bright that people take notice. Notice of how holy and beautiful and lovely our God really is. So summer is not about just playing with Jesus. Summer is about you declaring your intentions towards Him. Are you all in with Him or not? I hope you didn't hear this, that I'm for or against tattoos. I hope you didn't hear that because I don't care. I don't think God cares. God cares about this right here. The heart. I hope what you heard is this. What is keeping you from shining like a star in the universe for God's glory? Is it your selfishness? Is it your love for the world? Is it your love for you being in control? Is it all about you? Is it because you're afraid? Let's die to the world. And let's be alive. Really alive. So people go, oh my goodness, Brett, what is going on in you? And they start to see our Savior through us. Let's shine like a star in the universe for His glory. Join me in praise. Heavenly Father, I just come to you this morning and I just thank you, Lord. I thank you that you are a God who has called us to something greater than just going through the motions in this world. That you've called us to be set apart and to be unique and to be special so that way we can declare in this dark and depraved world that there is a great and glorious God who loves us and has provided a future for us. And God, we just thank you for that hope. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. And God, I would ask that you would truly mark us. Mark us with the cross. Help us to understand the power of what Christ has really done. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.